Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Bill. You're used to me being here, but Wendy's back. Hi, Wendy.
I'm back for a day, then off again tomorrow. I know this has just been a crazy week.
Well, you're like, I attribute it to like the life of a firefighter who works a certain amount of time, then they're off for a certain amount of time. You're like a firefighter, except you don't put out any fires.
And I don't work that hard.
Right. And
I don't make good chili.
Right. Those are the only things that separate you from being a firefighter.
Exactly. Yeah, I had things planned and then some unexpected things, and I think I'm back to normal starting next week.
Well, we're all looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Sure. And then you'll be off.
No, not till the end of June.
Oh, okay.
I got a long ways to go. Your husband will be making a guest appearance on today's show.
That is the plan. Yeah. Hopefully he never
grudgingly.
He never answers my calls, so hopefully he will. He's busy, Bill. I dropped him off last night, and you know, Star Wars Celebration is going on.
A 5-day festival.
How can people do it for that long?
Star Wars stuff. I don't know.
It's everybody's excited about it. It's
but
in
I
all
bet
the
if
newscasts.
You ask him, 5 days isn't even enough for this. He could probably do 6, 7, or 8 days from Star Wars stuff.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's happening at McCormick Place.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens today. They are going to be showing, I believe, the trailer for episode, is it 9?
32. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even know how it works.
If you're going in the sequence of the original movies, it would be number 9, correct?
Number 9?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there have been other, as you know, other Star Wars movies, but in the sequence, which started with A New Hope, number 4, this is number 9.
What if there had been, it wouldn't have timed out anyway, at the George Lucas Museum, it wouldn't have been ready in time for this.
Oh, in time for this?
No way.
Probably not.
No, it would have taken time. But boy, that would have been exciting. A lot of people, if you look on the streets, traffic was worse around McCormick Place.
Yes.
Worldwide. I mean, this is a worldwide love of Star Wars.
There was a lot of traffic, not just cars, but land speeders and banthas. We're all over the roadways.
See, you know more than I do about Star Wars. I've absorbed some of it through osmosis.
You know what happened, though? And I don't want to say this in front of your husband because this is there's nothing more insulting to a true Star Wars fan than what I'm about to say. I loved the first 3 movies. I hung on their every word. I watched them over and over. It was amazing watching those first 3 movies. And then the first of the sequels came out, which were really prequels, The Phantom Menace, and I counted as one of the biggest disappointments of my life, not just cinematically, but in my life. I so looked forward to that movie for so long, and I went and saw it with the same people that I had seen the original trilogy with my brother and with some friends, and we were all so excited to see this movie because in our heads, it was going to be even better than the first 3. You know, the first 3 were great, but now technology has caught up to it, and the movie is going to be even better. And when the movie was over, we all just sat in the theater and we looked at each other, and without any words being exchanged, we all went, "What?"
Was that the Jar Jar Binks?
Yes.
See,
the Jar Jar Binks.
I saw each movie. I had not seen Star Wars when Jim and I started dating. Kind of like Diner,
yes.
You know, there were a couple of things required of me before we could get engaged and then married.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Star Wars and was blown away by it. It was great. That's all I need. See it once.
I never saw them until about 15 years ago.
Really?
With
How
your
did
son?
You manage?
How did I manage?
How did you manage to not see them?
He was working since he was 12. Yeah.
They weren't around. I mean, they were at the theater. You mean, how did I manage when they were at the theater?
Well, first at the theater, because the first one played for, people sound like I'm exaggerating. I'm not. It was in the theater for over a year. They took a full-page ad out in the Sun-Times and the Tribune with a happy anniversary ad that Star Wars was in the theater for over a year.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I guess those kinds of movies just weren't. I don't think I went to a lot of movies as a kid.
No.
I didn't go to that many.
No.
And it's funny because Jim remembers when it came out in the theaters and his father took him to see the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
And his dad was running late. We call it Mac and Ernie time. And so when it was re-released, he went with his dad again, and they went late just for old time's sake. And that's kind of what Star Wars is.
Yeah.
Is this sharing of generations, and that's why it means so much to people. I really get kind of misty-eyed thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
Jim had action figures set up, thanks to you.
Uh-huh.
When he saw your toy room, he went to his mom's the next day and said, "Do you still have all my action figures?" And he set them up in various scenes, and they're, you know, on shelves.
Right.
And the kids would want to play with the action figures. And I was kind of surprised he allowed them to play with it, but he treated it as a library. Like, okay, you can take Obi-Wan Kenobi, but in order to get Princess Leia, you've got to return this one and then get another one. And I'm telling you right now, it's the most organized, the neatest room in the house. That's the only time the kids have ever listened to us is with the action figures. So, I mean, but it was amazing. The new movie came out when Michael was born, 99. I don't know what came out around that time.
I'm not sure which one that would have been.
I think that might have been
Phantom Menace,
I think
maybe.
So.
Yeah.
And I just know I was very pregnant, and at midnight I was at one of the Toys R Us to hold the cart
right
so Jim could go crazy and buy action figures.
Yeah.
It's really been a part of our family. I don't dislike it. I'm just not, you know, immersed in it.
Does
like
that disappoint him a little bit that you're not as into it as he is?
No, because we all, you know, that's what makes the world go around.
Sure.
Everybody has different interests.
Right. But when you go that long, and Steve, I guess this question is more for you than it is for Wendy, because Wendy married into it. You just kind of coexisted with it. When it's that big of a phenomena, don't you find yourself, even after not seeing the Star Wars movies, you kind of, just through osmosis of pop culture, you pick up what's what, right?
Yeah, sure, a little bit. You know, the Ray Rayner used to play the music from Star Wars.
Yeah,
in the
march.
Morning. Bill Murray would sing it on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Star Wars.
Right.
You know, but otherwise, I just was never that curious about it, I
Me
guess.
Too, Steve. I never went when it was in a theater. I had no interest in it, and I know it was a phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
Beety.
It was. But sometimes there's stuff that's so big. Like, I've never seen Game of Thrones, but just because I'm around it, I know that winter is coming. That's all I can say. You know?
Well, and I knew, like, the Blues Brothers with Carrie Fisher in it, you know, was a nod, right? That was after Star Wars.
Yes.
She played such a different character.
Right. Yeah.
I did see Close Encounters of the Third Kind. There was only so much time. I had so much time for science fiction when I was a kid.
No, that's understandable.
But that's true. That's not your main interest,
no.
Nor is it mine.
Right. True.
And I liked the movies. I thought they were pretty spectacular.
Yeah. They've rebounded nicely, but those first three prequels... not for the faint-hearted.
And I know what you're saying, because, you know, some of the Lucas put together, like, the special effects were pretty outstanding when you think that the technology was not there.
Right.
So you thought it was just going to be over the moon. And in a way, I liked the older stuff better.
Me too.
And then they kind of went back to that with other movies where it wasn't so computerized.
Well, you cared more about the characters
exactly.
than the technology end of it. All right,
a lot of people texting. There are people all over the city. I have not seen one person dressed up yet, though.
Oh,
how you about
will,
that?
Before
and
this
Jim
week
does
is
not
over,
wear a costume. Can I just get that out there right now? He never has.
Right.
Maybe
he
for
will
Halloween.
Not be dressed as Panda Baba at any point this weekend?
No idea
probably
who that
not.
Is.
All right.
Panda Express?
Now we're talking. That's something. All right, we'll take a break. And then more of this and other things. We're at 312-981-7200. Should you want to participate, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Is this the Imperial March?
Yeah.
It's Darth Vader related, right?
Say what you will about Darth Vader, Wendy. I think he did a lot for asthma awareness. Don't you think? If they would have just had Primatine Mist back in the Death Star, he wouldn't have been so irritable, I don't think.
Aaron's on the line. Hi, Aaron. Star Wars Celebration happening right now.
Yeah, I've got tickets for Monday.
Just one day?
Yeah, well, I have a job. So
wow. Ouch.
Well,
that hurts.
In all fairness, a lot of people, this is their vacation time that they're taking.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago is the epicenter of all nerds this week.
I think nerds are cute. Can I just say that? I do.
How about that?
Something
endearing. We're an adorable bunch.
How do you celebrate this love of all things Star Wars, if I can ask?
Well, I've got two young kids. I've got two young boys. So pretty much everything that, you know, we do together, kind of, you know, Star Wars books,
really?
Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, not everything, but a lot of things. You know, my wife has a say in some stuff, too.
And you have tattoos to celebrate this, too?
Yeah, I've got a Boba Fett tattoo on my shoulder.
Nice.
Boba Fett's pretty cool.
The most colorful of all the costumed characters.
By far.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell Aaron about the tattoo you would like to get someday, Bill?
Which one?
A tattoo.
Oh, I want to get a tattoo of Harvey Belichez. Yeah.
Aaron, have fun.
Thank you.
May the force be with you.
As to you.
I love it.
Oh, I thought it was and also with you. No, or is that too religious? That's too religious.
That's too religious. And Catholics have changed that to and with your spirit.
Oh. Not right back at you? Because they were trying to decide if they should go with right back at
you. We do have a cool pope, but he hasn't changed it.
No?
To right back at you. Boy, I'm waiting for that day.
It's coming.
Craig, I said I didn't see any people dressed up. You have?
Yeah, I'm an Uber driver, and I picked up a husband and a wife and their kid. Kid's probably 10 years old. And the husband and wife were dressed as Obi-Wan, Princess Leia, and a 10-year-old was dressed as, who was the little guy, the little Jedi?
Anakin?
No.
No?
In the new movies? Because there's Rey.
Yoda?
Yoda, yes.
Oh, the little guy. We
little guy.
Known that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little guy was
the
dressed
Minions?
As Yoda.
Was he one of the Minions? Or is that's a different movie?
Hey, Yoda's pretty wise. Don't mess with
him.
Very
wise. And the voice of Miss Piggy.
I didn't even look for a tip. I was afraid to ask.
Oh, that's not nice. Craig, they probably would have tipped you well. This is exciting for them.
Well, they probably would have just told me what the force be with you. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. All right. Don't drink any blue milk.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
You as well. And Mark's on the line. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Happy celebration.
I run a Star Wars fan club called Chicago Force. My wife has yet to even see or desire to see any of the movies.
Wow. Does that hurt your feelings? Or are you okay with this?
I'm okay with it. She said, you know, she has her thing, which is Buffy for some.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have a thing. I need a thing. My thing used to be the X-Files.
Not anymore, though.
You've got rock and roll, baby.
I do have rock and roll.
It's good that everyone has their own thing, I think. You don't have to be doing things together all the time.
I guess.
Mark, I know this is personal, but have you ever had a fight with your wife where you say, the best characters from Star Wars could cream the best characters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Has that ever come up?
No, not yet.
Not yet, but it's coming.
Well, have fun. Celebrate the celebration.
Thank you, and I will be in costume.
Who are you going to be?
I'm going to be Malakili, the Rancor Keeper.
Oh, yeah.
That means nothing
when
to me.
When his hands are up in the air.
I know a Rancor.
Would you say he's a slightly Reuben-esque Rancor Keeper? Is that fair to say? Big boned?
He is a big guy that comes in and cries when the Rancor dies.
Yes. Yep, he's a giant with a heart of gold, Wendy.
Which movie is that from?
Empire Strikes Back. Oh, Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have
a good
fun.
Weekend.
Thank you, guys. May the force be with you.
And also with you.
No, what are we supposed to say? What's the return salutation? right back at you. All right, have a good one. I love Chewbacca.
Yeah. Yeah.
And come on, Han
Solo. We should hook him up with Harry's razors. He should be the spokesperson for Harry's razors.
You know how I like a good mullet and a lot of hair. A shaved Chewbacca would be terrible.
That should be the last movie. He just comes out all clean shaven, and he's super handsome. He's like Sam Elliott.
They just are leaving a little mustache.
Right.
All right, that's good to know. Wendy, I'm a worker bee at McCormick Place. I'm looking out my window seeing lots of people dressed up, and there definitely will be.
Of course.
Jim has never done that. Somebody wants to know. No, he's
He
not.
Never will?
He just, you know, and he likes his Led Zeppelin, too, and the Grateful Dead, so it's not just Star Wars.
But I've told you this before, because I've been to similar outings with him. When somebody walks past him dressed in an outfit, he gets so excited. And I've had to tell him, I go, that's not really a stormtrooper, Jim. It's a guy from Buffalo Grove dressed like a stormtrooper. Oh, did you see him, though? He gets so excited.
This is just something for families to come together. I bet there are a lot of kids out of school. They're going as a family.
Right.
It's something a whole family can share. I share in it, but I don't share the obsession, sure. I guess, is the difference.
Sure. But boy, if you did, he would so love that. One night, on his birthday, dressed like Slave Leia, just for one day.
They should hold this event on May the 4th, and they really should.
I think they do that in either California or New York. I think their celebration is on that weekend.
And someone says they have a friend with a tattoo of tattoo.
Really?
So I wish they'd... could you send in a picture? Because this would make Bill's whole day.
I need to see it.
Well, yeah. Someone threw something out, and this is really interesting. I think for this generation, currently, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy movies is their Star Wars now. And that is an interesting thought.
Maybe I would say the Avengers maybe too, you know?
I guess. But, although with the new movies, they're going to... And that's another thing, too, I just have to say. It used to be you'd have to wait so long for a new movie to come out, and now it's
like... Now they're
like
trains. They just come by every 20 minutes.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know.
I kind of think...
It used to be every 3 years.
Yeah.
That was the template originally.
And it sucked to wait, but if it was something you were super into...
Yeah.
But now it's just like you can get it whenever you want
right,
it.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
Why buy the cow if you can get the blue milk for free?
Oh, so well done.
Thank you very much.
So well done.
What is this?
I don't know, but it makes me nervous.
Oh, is this Beck?
Oh, that Beck. He fooled us once again.
I enjoyed that immensely.
He of the two turntables, Wendy, and the microphone.
You had a story that was in the news that, do you have one of those, we're not supposed to say the names because then everybody's thing will go off,
yes.
But if you're a smart speaker user, you say play WGN radio on TuneIn, mm-hmm. and you'll be listening to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then my kid has an A word.
Wendy.
Let's not do this.
That's rude.
I know, but every time we say the A word...
It's a five-letter word. It's a name. It's a woman's
right,
name.
Right, and it sets everybody else's
right.
stuff
and in the past,
up.
Anytime we've talked about it, we get hundreds of texts from people saying, please don't say that word because it activates my system.
Right.
And it's not Allison.
It is not Allison.
You activate my system, Bill.
Wendy, you're very kind.
Thank you very
very kind
for that. Bloomberg has a report that... Amazon has thousands of people listening to your conversations when you make your A-word voice assistant work for you.
Yes.
And I don't know why anyone's surprised about this. Well, it has to be on and ready to listen for the A-word.
But now that's kind of being challenged to some extent. Because, Steve, were you the one, somebody here at the station, you and I were talking about the capabilities of this particular system, and somebody said that they and their wife were having a conversation about paint or something having to do
right,
with the house.
Right, and then magically it turned up somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the belief is, even though that they have it structured by which you need to say that magic word for it to activate, there's a lot of people questioning that, saying, I don't know if that's true. I think they're always listening in.
Yeah, I don't. I think a lot, because this has happened to me many times, and then you backtrack it, and you figure out there was a way you did a search or you did something. By the way, I'd like to tell the people of Allbirds, I'll never buy another pair of their shoes.
Really? What's wrong with them?
They're wonderful. I love them, but I'm tired of the ads. They can stop sending them to me
right.
Because I bought one pair.
But
can I just say one thing, Wendy?
Yeah.
The story isn't that they're listening all the time. It's that the Google people are analyzing the audio clips of me giving a command. So if I say play WGN radio, you know, they've got access to that so they can see how their device reacts to the commands.
So, all right.
Right? Which they should be doing.
Yeah,
you want them to refine that and get better at it. How else would they do that?
But then, as the story goes, Steve, they're saying that there was a sexual assault that was discovered. So nobody, upon sexually assaulting somebody, said the word, the five-letter A word that we're not supposed to say because it'll activate everybody's system. But nobody said that first. It just somehow activated itself, right?
I don't know. I didn't see this. I didn't read the whole
story.
Well,
this Amazon has thousands of workers. They're around the world. They're listening to, as Steve mentioned, recordings of conversation between users and the Alexa voice assistant. Sorry. I didn't say it so clearly, so maybe I...
Can we say... I'm trying to think if this is doable. If we say Lexi, is that allowable?
I'd certainly like to try that because some people might have a nickname for her.
Hey, Lexi. Are you allowed to alter
it? I don't think so.
And see, the Google people will go through and say, someone keeps saying Lexi and it doesn't work. Luckily, we can analyze that.
And then in the office, they go, is it Bill? And they go, yeah, it's Bill. He doesn't understand how it works.
So according to Bloomberg, they're trying to improve their ability to understand human speech. Because, you know, I articulate when I'm doing something with Siri.
You over-enunciate?
Kind of.
Yeah.
And she still gets it wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. But there are, like, a lot of people that mumble that I wonder if it doesn't work properly. Amazon told Bloomberg that it tasks humans with reviewing only, quote, an extremely small sample of Alexa voice recordings. But come on, if you're there listening, I'm going to keep listening.
That's still eerie, right?
Well,
you don't think so, Steve?
I don't think they're listening, and I didn't read the article, so I'm coming at this as an apologist for them, but I don't think they're listening in real time, right? These are audio.
No, these are audio recordings,
right.
But still, it's stuff that...
But they're not recording. I'm assuming, Wendy, that when you say, hey, Lexi, then the recording starts.
That's what we're hoping.
They're not recording 16 hours of your living room.
No, right. And then there's a chat room, according to Business Insider. The moderators reportedly have a chat room where they can ask for help or just share amusing recordings. Mm. So if someone's sharing a recording of someone...
That's odd.
You know, maybe you're in a compromising position.
Yeah.
Or doing something embarrassing and you're like... Lexi, can you...
Hey, Lexi, look at this.
Or send me some toilet paper. Order it now. I mean, maybe there's something, you know, I've fallen and I can't get up. You don't want people to hear that.
No, if they're doing it for the amusement, that's not good.
The moderators also occasionally hear more upsetting things. Two workers told Bloomberg that they heard a recording of what they believe to be a sexual assault.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, shouldn't that be turned over to authorities?
Well, yeah, but you would need that to be done at the time of the sexual assault. Not like, as this story goes, they're monitoring it later. They're hearing tapes, so you can't help anybody because it's post facto. It's already happened.
I guess, but wouldn't that be evidence?
It would be, right. It could be evidence later on in a court case, but for the sole purpose of coming to the aid of that person
attacked,
it's already happened.
You couldn't
happened.
Do that, but to press charges. The company has, this is a report from Bloomberg. It highlighted the human labor that goes into making Amazon's Lexi voice assistant, which comes built into every Amazon Echo speaker, a little smarter. The company has a mix of contractors and full-time employees all over the globe. They review and transcribe clips of conversations between users and Lexi. The idea, the report said, is to have humans annotate those interactions to help identify phrases such as Taylor Swift that might otherwise be meaningless to the software.
Wait, what are they... I don't understand how that's helping them.
We only annotate an extremely small sample of Alexa voice recordings in order to improve the customer experience. For example, this information helps us train our speech recognition and natural language understanding systems so Lexi can better understand your requests. Now, I'm sure a lot of people say Taylor Swift, so there's no problem with it.
But if people are pronouncing it slightly differently, they want to make sure it's zeroing in on those particular words and you're getting what you're asking for. If somebody's saying play Taylor Swift, but they're not saying her name quite properly, they want to get...
How do you not say her name properly?
I don't know.
Taylor.
Right.
Swift.
It's almost impossible to not say her name properly.
But I think it's just adding words to the vernacular that it is recognizing. But Taylor Swift is a bad example because I think Lexi already knows about that. What's like a weird...
That comedian Nanjiani.
That's still probably popular, but like just a weird...
Salil Nanjiani. People might say that different ways.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But
that's true.
Taylor Swift, I would think most people would say the same way.
I mean, people marvel like, oh, Siri gets to know you, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is how they get to know you. The software engineers refining the software.
Exactly. Employees do not have direct access to information that can identify the person or account... As part of the workflow,
that's
so it's anonymous.
That's better.
All information is treated with high confidentiality. We use multi-factor authentication to restrict access, service encryption, and audits of our control environment to protect it. I'm just saying, if you have a speaker system like that, I won't say her name.
Chances are...
Yeah, somewhere along the line, my phone is recording me.
I think so, too.
You
I really
got
do.
That, Siri? You're stupid.
I really do. I don't know. All right, because I don't have the Lexi system, one of my daughters does, but I do not. I don't know what you're signing away when you agree to that, when you agree to have that hooked up. Are you sign? Is there ever a time where you're signing an agreement with
who
them?
Who reads that? There's a digital thing that comes over and you click the box to say you agree. It's, no
you
one
scroll,
reads
scroll,
that.
Scroll, 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 and you go, hey, it looks right. And you just put your name in there.
Well, who was it? I think it was John Williams who had someone out on, and they were getting a trip and they bought insurance, and no one reads the whole contract. They just sign it.
Yeah.
And she read through it, and there was a tiny little stanza in there that said, if you call this number right now and you're the first person to do it, we'll give you like $1,000, I think.
Congratulations,
was.
You've read further than anyone has ever read before.
Seriously.
Yeah, you were on with John Williams when this woman called in, and seriously, it made me want to read everything from that point forward.
That's
and what
impressive.
Was it like? It was $5,000, I think, wasn't it? Because it almost paid for her.
It was at least, yeah.
And paid for her trip, pretty much.
That's amazing.
Because no one reads those. I mean, when you update your iTunes, it's like, you know, you must agree to these terms. Okay.
I know.
I feel like the Pete Davidson character in SNL, where he just goes, okay. Because right. Who reads
it's
it?
It's easier to just agree.
There is a Google assistant. Who's the Google assistant, Julie?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
When I was working yesterday, the woman that I work for, she was on the phone with a conversation, and all of a sudden Google started answering it.
Started answering what?
Whatever, I forget what she was talking about on the phone with that person, but all of a sudden it just started talking.
Oh.
So the smart speaker next to her started talking when she wasn't even talking to the smart speaker.
Right.
See, that's something.
And you know what? That lady won $10,000.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that great, though? Do you read everything now that you heard that story? Because I still don't,
no.
But I should.
No.
No.
We could be $10,000 richer, Julie.
I know, unfortunately.
Thank you for calling. That's kind of
thanks, Julie.
Scary, but you have to anticipate that that could happen.
I always do. I always assume.
I don't say anything that would incriminate me in front of a speaker,
right,
or in front of my phone.
Yeah.
And I can't get undressed in front of the dog. I don't know what it is. It's so weird. Hi, Craig.
Hello, how are you guys?
We're pretty good.
I've got a friend who works at the Google downtown. And he's one of the software engineers. And we had this very conversation over St. Patrick's Day. Think about it. People in Boston, they pronounce things differently.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the same English language. It just sounds different. People from the south side of Chicago, the north side. If you're from Mexico and you use the English language, but you have that different inflection in your voice, that's what it has to learn, because it needs to be able to, it needs to work for you,
right,
not just the general public. So that's why it listens.
All right. Well, that kind of makes sense that they're studying this and trying to make it better, because seriously, there's nothing worse than asking Siri for something and she gives you something else.
Yeah.
So they need
to. That's just it.
Yeah.
Siri's problems is one of the reasons they do this.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And not only that, but they apparently they have no access to where the voice sample came from. They just have a snippet of voice. They don't know if it came from you, from Bill, or somebody in North Dakota.
Well, if it's a deeper voice, it's Wendy's.
Yeah.
So they know that part.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Craig, for that. I guess it makes sense. I think someone's listening everywhere all the time. And I'm on my best behavior, which I cannot understand why the masses aren't. Because I'm telling you, the one time you explode at someone or you act like a jerk, someone's going to be videotaping you.
Yeah, right. That's so true.
If that's not a fear you have to be a better person, I don't know what is.
I know.
So Steve? Can we go back to why you won't get undressed in front of your dog?
I don't know. It started
What's
with
he
Tiki.
Do
I don't
with,
know.
Like
I don't
start,
swear in front of him, and I don't get undressed in front of him.
You start, and then the dog walks in, and you stop? Or how does it?
I just feel funny. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
What's he going to do with that information?
I don't
tell
know.
Other dogs? I got to tell
you know,
Wednesday, Wendy comes in.
When they're playing poker at night, he's going to be talking.
Wait, that really happens?
Yes.
I thought that was just a painting.
No.
All right, we'll take a break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It is Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200. If you want to call us or text us, here's a text Drew says. Oh, by the way, we're talking about the situation over at Amazon where they say they've got workers listening to parts of your conversation and they're explaining why.
Pre-recorded parts.
Right,
in real time.
Right. Which we guess is better, right? That's what we've decided for the most part. Here's somebody from 217 who says, if Google Home is listening to me, they're hearing a lot of Law and Order. I hope they don't think there are a bunch of crimes going on at my house.
Really? How do they decipher between, like, remember in Home Alone where he rigged up
the clip from the old movie?
Yes.
There would be a lot of that. What do people do? Forgive me for being naive, but I honestly don't know the answer to this. If you have a family member who has that for a name, we've been saying Lexi, but you know what the real word is. We just know that anytime we say the real word on the radio, it activates a lot of people's systems. So what do people do if they have a wife or a sister or a daughter who has that name? Is their machine constantly going off or going on?
That is the best question. Maybe someone with that name can call us and answer 312-981-7200, because I got to tell you, it's a fairly popular name.
It is a popular name, although I wonder if this will change that. If because of this particular device, if people who were thinking about using that for a name for their daughter go, it's going to mess up my house. Yeah. I can't do that. There also must be a way, I'm guessing, to change the code word, right? Like if you don't want that to be the word to activate your system, is there some way to change? Is there a page where you can make an alteration and change it to whatever you want it to be?
That is a great question as well. Someone else has texted, Bill, phones 100% certain listen to us. I spent 2.5 hours in a guitar store last week, and I was playing different models of acoustic guitars, talking about them before buying one. The next day, ads for the top 10 best acoustic guitars under $1,000 came up.
So
I don't know how you explain that.
There?
The following day, the same thing, except it was for electric guitars. Mine was unfortunately much more than the $1,000, but that thing happens all the time on my phone.
Yeah. Here's a texture says, you can rename your Lexi system. Ours is Percival Sweetwater, who I think was an Ernie Kovacs character, I'm pretty sure, wasn't it?
That was Percy
Love Tonsils.
Yes. Dove Tonsils, maybe?
Dove Tonsils.
Wow. Two of us, I loved Ernie Kovacs, so I'm so happy you brought him up.
Sure.
And three people have texted in saying that they cannot undress in front of their dog as well. I don't know what it is. And I'm not a great mom. I do my best, but I've sworn in front of my kids. But if I had said bad words in front of the dog, I would look at him and say, I'm sorry.
I still remember a day in first grade where I was changing clothes. Gilligan's Island was on, and I'm changing clothes. And the castaways thought they saw a boat out in the distance. And either Ginger or Marianne goes, look over there as I'm changing. And I hid behind the bed because I didn't think Ginger and Marianne should be watching me change.
I've done that with the TV. But, I mean, maybe two times and I was younger.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with the dog, I don't know what it is.
Like the dog would somehow rate you or something.
I don't know. Wendy, I too cannot undress in front of my dog. And I also feel funny. This is another one, undressing in front of my dog and also going to the bathroom. Very
all the
funny.
Time? Or
why?
Just...
They go in front of us. I leave the door open sometimes, like if no one's home. If the dog came up, that wouldn't bother me.
Is it strictly a dog thing? If you had tropical fish, would you be okay with changing in front of the fish?
They see it a lot because people wear bikinis and, you know, on the beach. So I think fish
are okay,
naked people more than dogs.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know what the proper answer is, but I'm just glad to know that I'm not alone. And I'm glad that you two think it's so funny.
It's interesting, yeah.
It's very funny.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. That's all happening in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, 720 WGN. Use the force, young Bill.
Our next guest has had a very long romantic relationship with one of us, and Wendy, you know him too.
Hey guys.
Hi Jimmy.
Jimmy Mack on the line. Rebel Force Radio is of course covering Star Wars Celebration 2019. It opens today, correct?
That's correct.
Have you been there yet?
I actually have. I was there yesterday during the exhibitor setup, and I was helping a friend of mine lug a bunch of boxes into the convention center so he can, at the Norse Jewelry, it's the Norse Legion booth, and he sells Star Wars jewelry, like pendants, and
nice.
He sells glasses. He has an Alec Guinness pint glass.
Oh.
So instead of Guinness, you can think of Obi-Wan.
Oh.
I bet the Guinness people are going to get in touch with him pretty soon.
Oh, well, you know, so you were saying the convention?
Yes. So what is the big thing that everybody's looking forward to? I don't remember when the last celebration or where it was, I guess I should say. But what is the big thing everybody's excited about this year?
Okay, this is mostly turned into a biannual event. The last one was 2017 in Orlando, and that was to promote Star Wars The Last Jedi. This convention, I think the prime focus of everyone's attention is Star Wars Episode 9, which opens in December. And so tomorrow morning, they're going to have the first big major panel. That's what they call these big shows they do, where they get together cast and crew members. And tomorrow, the first big one's going to happen in the Wintrust Arena to talk about Star Wars Episode 9.
Do you think anyone will show up to this, Jimmy? Will anyone come to this, do you think?
You know, I think people will trickle in.
Yep.
Seriously, I mean, people are people that have been suffering great anxiety, wondering whether or not they'd be able to get into this this big Episode 9 panel.
Mm. There was a lottery for it.
The audience members were chosen via lottery. And so tomorrow we expect to see our first footage from the film, perhaps the first trailer.
Predictions? Any predictions of who we'll see or anything? I want to test you on this.
Well, I think J.J. Abrams has been confirmed, and he will be on stage with Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy. Cast members have not been announced who's going to be appearing at that panel tomorrow morning, but I would expect to see luminaries like Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, and maybe Mark Hamill.
Oh, big names.
What about Childish Gambino?
No, I don't think because Donald Glover, who is a.k.a. Childish Gambino, he played Lando Calrissian in the Solo film, which came out last year. So if he showed up, that would be a huge surprise.
Sure. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I just saw Mark Hamill said, I'm sure you're all already aware of this, Jimmy, but Mark Hamill just said that the one big mistake that they made with the latest Star Wars movies was that they never reunited Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? They should have at some point, right?
A friend of mine likes to say it was like reuniting the Beatles, but having them seen back up in a boy band.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. So because we had this opportunity to reunite these iconic characters and get them all back together and provide the chemistry that really made this whole franchise take off. The
missed
chemistry
opportunity
between Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
What did they do? They made Mark Hamill a hermit, hiding away from everyone. They killed off Han Solo, Harrison Ford's character.
What?
And of course, you know, spoiler
alert.
Oh, man.
But, and then, of course, you know, we lost Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
So you're going to be hard pressed to provide that reunion of those three great actors.
Absolutely.
And their characters.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, they find some footage that they shot maybe for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, and find a way to reincorporate that into this film.
Maybe.
Because they have said Carrie Fisher will be a presence in this film, and it's not going to be some sort of special effects trickery. Well, I'm sure they're going to have to involve some of that to bring her character to life, but it's not like she's going to be in one of those realistic animated things. It's going to be actual Carrie footage that they shot 4 years ago.
Jimmy Mack on the line with us. He and his partner, as I like to call him, Jason Swank, do Rebel Force Radio. You can find it at rebelforceradio.com. We're also here on WGN+. I wanted to ask you, and I know this irritates you when I say this, so the first three movies were not in chronological order. The second three were the first, right? So what are these? What is Episode 9? Where are we on the timeline here?
Okay, well, these are legitimate sequels to the original trilogy. So first, George Lucas put out the original trilogy starting in 1977 with Star Wars. He then realized that he had such a backstory developed for these characters that he sort of rebranded the first film as Episode IV. So back in when we were kids going to the theaters and they would re-release Star Wars, all of a sudden it opened up with this new title that said Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. And we're like, wait a second, what are we missing here? Mm-hmm. But Lucas did say he had this backstory, so he wanted to provide himself the opportunity to actually build out his saga as a serial like the Flash Gordon and the Buck Rogers serials that he watched when he was a kid, which were all chapter by chapter. And so that really encouraged him then to find a way to go back and create those first three parts. So we knew of their existence before they existed.
And then, so the timeline now, this follows the third original movie?
Yeah, so everything happens starting with 2015's The Force Awakens, happens approximately three decades after the events of 1983's Return of the Jedi. So these are direct sequels to the original trilogy.
Jimmy, let's talk about what's going on at Disney theme parks. They will each have, in Disneyland and in Disney World, a separate area, a Star Wars-themed area. All I've seen is pictures and some video. It looks astonishing. You've seen the same thing I've seen, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be incredible. Opening first at Disneyland in Anaheim this summer, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will be the first ever Star Wars theme park. And it's the largest expansion of the original Disneyland park. And from what we've seen, it looks incredible. The Millennium Falcon will be there, life-size. You will walk onto the Millennium Falcon, and you will fly the Millennium Falcon. I mean, it is going to be amazing. They're also developing another ride called Rise of the Resistance, which promises to be one of the most expansive and technologically advanced theme park rides ever created. The entire ride will take you through an adventure of the Star Wars universe that will last almost a half an hour.
Wow.
When does this open?
So this opens in Disney this summer. Rise of the Resistance will open at a later date. They don't have that ride ready for the grand opening. And then it'll open in Orlando at the end of the summer.
But Disney's being tricky on who they let in, right? You have to stay at one of their themed hotels in order to get in early, right?
Yeah, I think I heard you have to make reservations and things like that. There will be a Star Wars themed hotel that will be attached to the Orlando park, and that will take you directly from the hotel into the park itself. Absolutely immersive. You'll be surrounded by Star Wars 24/7 during your stay.
And would you want to do that? Because I'll stay home.
Whoa. Uh-oh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're taking it to a level where you won't even just be yourself. You'll be a character in the Star Wars universe with the potential that bounty hunters might be trying to come after you while you're staying there, right?
Really? Because that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just call that Tuesday.
You're used to that.
All right. And if you are listeners of Rebel Force Radio, you were lucky enough to purchase tickets to go to a podcast that you're doing tonight. In the music joint at Reggie's, and then you have another podcast on Saturday night. But these have been sold out for a while, huh?
Yeah, we're pretty pleased. They sold out relatively quickly, and looking forward to seeing Star Wars fans from all over the globe at our event, and of course the big convention at McCormick Place.
Jimmy, what do you think is the most quotable line in Star Wars history?
Well, may the Force be with you is probably the one that everyone thinks of. I mean, that transcends the film and, you know, I mean, really has widespread knowledge of that line. It's, you know, it ranks up there with some of the greatest lines in cinema history, you know.
Yeah.
Frankly, you know, I don't give a damn. And, you know, make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
And Godfather. You know, I mean, these are lines. excuse me. These are lines that people just know. Follow the yellow brick road.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, I think May the Force Be With You is one of those rare moments of dialogue that just becomes part of the pop culture fabric, and people just know it whether they know Star Wars or not.
Sure.
We talked to a listener earlier, and I said, May the Force Be With You, and he said something back. What is the proper line? Because, Bill, you thought it was an also with you, but it isn't.
An also with you.
What are you supposed to say when someone says...
What are you doing?
And with your spirit?
I think, you know, I think there is a moment in Star Wars Episode 3 where Ewan McGregor, as Obi-Wan Kenobi, says to Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker, he says, you know, may the Force be with you. And then Anakin responds, may the Force be with you, Master. So, you know, it kind of, I think you just respond in kind.
Jimmy, Wendy gets very excited when you use the actual character voices.
No, I'm fine with it.
I saw a tingle come over her.
Oh, she loves it. Yeah. She loves it.
Jimmy Mac, you know what? I do love it because it brings family together. There's a sweet story that maybe you should tell. When Michael was little, we have an old house, and going to a different portion of the house without us when he was very little kind of frightened him.
Mm.
So what did he do?
Yeah, so Michael would venture off into those shadowy corners of the house by himself, and he just needed the comfort of knowing we were around, and he could hear our voices. So he would yell, Dad, who's your favorite Star Wars character today? And the challenge was always for me to answer a different character every day without ever repeating.
Sure.
And this went on for probably 5 years.
He still does it. I got to tell you, like when you're
ran out of characters,
he's still like, if he doesn't see you, he'll text you. He still asks you what's your favorite Star Wars character.
So Jimmy,
character
you're just
is.
Really making cute. It like you're going, Potsy Weber. We're just yelling stuff like that now.
Ralph Fowles.
Right.
All right. And finally, someone has texted, and this is a really great question. Is there a proper viewing order for new generations? Going in order from episode 1 through 9, what order do you recommend?
Yeah, I don't understand how this has become such a huge topic because, you know, there is debate because some fans like to watch it in the order that they were historically released, which would be 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And then other people like to watch them in the actual order numerically, and I think that's the preference of George Lucas himself.
In order.
I mean, listen, here's what my response is going to be. Who cares? Who has the time to sit there and watch 9 movies in a row? Typically, you watch one movie at a time. But I get the argument. The argument comes from when you're introducing someone to the story. Someone who's never seen Star Wars before, what's the best way to approach that? You know, they both have their pluses and minuses. I think the story plays out a little bit more straightforward when you watch in order, but then you lose some of those great reveals, like in Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
When no spoilers.
Darth Vader, please.
Uh-oh. No, there are people who just are mad about your Han Solo comment, and they're
I'm one of them.
No need to watch it anymore. Be careful. That's all. And, you know, I know that you love Star Wars and you've made a podcast, Rebel Force Radio. Bill is a big fan of The Godfather. How's your Godfather cast going?
Oh, pretty good.
And now I'm just going to ask you, you love The Godfather. What order do you watch that in?
Like Jimmy's saying with Star Wars, I like it in chronological order, but people go, no, you got to watch it.
Well, you know, Coppola had all those flashbacks in Godfather 2.
Right.
And then he took it and removed those flashbacks and placed them at the beginning of the movie and edited them all together.
Yep.
So they play out, you know, in that chronological
order. I like it that way.
Well, Darth Vader's Luke Skywalker's father.
Oh, Jimmy.
Why
would
he do that?
Doesn't know that? When when I first showed Dylan Empire Strikes Back when he was a little kid, he said he knew that. And I said, how do you know? He said, robot chicken. See, there are just things in Star Wars
that have
become ingrained in pop culture. People know this stuff.
Well, now they do. All right. Well, I'm a Star Wars widow for the weekend, although I'll see you tonight at Reggie's. And
I thought David Crosby was his father till just now. Boy, was I wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong.
You're going to be doing a couple of podcasts that people can find at RebelForceRadio.com and also at WGN Plus as well.
So WGN Plus.
We'll see you later. May the Force be with you.
And also with you, Master.
You called me master.
I feel
I like
so
it.
Dirty right now.
Thank you, Jim.
I can't believe
you guys.
Wow.
That was the closest I've ever going to come to role playing.
I know.
Ever. And I'm not dressed up.
No, I know. I didn't even want to bring up with him the fact that I thought all three prequels were trash.
Is he still on?
No, don't. Because it'll burst him. It really will.
A lot of people have said that.
I know.
And, you know, here's the thing. When you have a passion for something and you love it, sometimes you don't have a realistic view of what's happened because you love it so much.
Right.
You know?
Right. But I don't want to, I mean...
A lot of people have said that. They discuss it on Rebel Force Radio a lot, that there are people that call that say, what's up with that? And Jar Jar Binks was a racist and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They discuss everything.
They do.
So,
all right.
I may be part of the podcast because it's nice to have like a civilian involved every once in a while.
To keep things right. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then he's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
He's Dean, Bill. Hi, Dean.
Wait, this is Dean?
Dean. That's a lovely song.
Isn't it pretty?
It's a lovely song.
You deserve it, though, Dean.
When I walk around down Michigan Avenue or at the grocery store, I have that on my phone. And I play it like a theme
sure.
music.
Yeah.
Theme music, like a score.
Yeah.
You know.
And what's the reaction from those near you?
I think they're saying way to go. It's a one finger affirmative.
Yeah.
I think that means yay, number one.
Now, usually people use their thumbs for that.
Well, I didn't know.
Everything's different now. Everything's different.
How are you, Dean?
These crazy kids. I'm excited, maybe not as excited as your family about the Star Wars
Celebration.
I'm going to be out there all day tomorrow covering it. So,
well, look for Jimmy Mack. He'll be there with Rebel Force Radio doing a podcast. My kids will be there.
Are they wearing costumes? I'm trying to decide if I should wear.
You should wear something. A costume, Dean.
No, don't listen to Bill. I mean, Jim has never dressed up. We don't dress up. There are a lot of people that do, but if you do, you have to really go all out.
Yeah, you have to commit. That's too much trouble. I do have my Princess Leia in chains costume that I wore.
Slave Leia?
Yeah, one Halloween. I may have put on a little weight since then.
Well, then for sure wear it.
I may look like Jabba the Hutt.
That's fine. People love Jabba the Hutt. You'll be fine.
I'm thinking I might go Obi-Wan because his clothes is very freeing.
Obi-Wan Epstein. How about that? Be him.
A good mashup of two 70s classics.
Yes, together again for the first time. Dean, I have to ask you, I just read a story about this movie that Matthew McConaughey made called The Beach Bum that they're now saying is already the biggest loser of the year. Nobody went to see this movie. He was promoting it like crazy. I saw him on a bunch of talk shows. What went wrong? How does a guy like him
I don't know where
out?
The movie was playing, to tell you the truth. They didn't screen it for critics. I didn't get any notice ahead of time that it was coming up, and I've looked for it. It's in a couple of theaters. It's at the Music Box. It's at the AMC River East.
Yeah.
And not many more theaters than that. I know Snoop Dogg co-stars in it.
Right.
But really, that's all that I know about it. It's apparently a very cannabis-induced storyline, from what I understand.
Yes.
Imagine that with Matthew McConaughey and Snoop Dogg.
It's hard to picture, isn't it?
That might be part of the plot line. But, yeah, I don't know that much about it.
But they also had Isla Fisher was in it, Martin Lawrence was in it, Zac Efron, Jonah Hill. A really good cast.
Wow. Druggies. All druggies.
All druggies. Every one
all
of
druggies.
Them druggies. Good. But isn't it weird that you
all
get a guy...
All of them, ironically, all of them have a very severe glaucoma.
But you get a guy who's won an Academy Award for Best Actor, you put him around a bunch of other credible actors, you'd think, oh, this can't miss, and yet it missed big time.
There's no accounting. Shortly after Halle Berry won an Academy Award, she did a couple of terrible movies as well. I mean, a lot of them are in the pipeline before they do, you know, before they win their Oscars, before they actually win. But I think some of these actors just want to do little indie projects, little, you know, fun little things with, you know, no pressure. I'm sure he didn't make a lot of money on it either. And I'm sure it was just like a, you know, a fun thing to hang out with Snoop Dogg.
Maybe, maybe. I have to ask you, I know that the story about Lori Loughlin and
Felicity Huffman.
Thank you. Yep. Has been in the news a lot the last couple of weeks, but it's taken a dark turn. It looks like they very seriously could do some jail time, right?
It looks like, definitely, it's looking like Lori Loughlin is going to do some jail time.
Is that because she didn't plead guilty?
It's because now there are secondary charges, in addition to the bribery charges that were the original charges of trying to get her daughters into USC, saying that they were on the crew team when they had never even gone anywhere near the crew team. Now, apparently, there are also money laundering charges for Lori Loughlin. So she's facing some serious charges.
I heard up to 40 years because it's 20 for each charge. But that, I thought, was because she and her husband did not plead guilty. Felicity Huffman did.
Yeah, I don't.
And most of the others.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that it was necessarily because of the plea. I think it was. I just think that there was more on Lori Loughlin than there was Felicity Huffman. But it's also, you know, you got to think that the way that they're handling this is very different. Felicity Huffman and several of the other parents did plead guilty. I don't know if you read the actual apology that Felicity Huffman submitted to the court, but it's rather moving. I mean, it's a person who is deeply regretful. Or, you know, at least seems to be by the words for what she's done, you know, admitting she's made a terrible mistake and she's embarrassed her family and embarrassed her children. And, you know, she is willing to pay whatever the consequences are for her mistake. She's willing to pay it. And I think that's got to go a little further than showing up at court like it's an Entertainment Tonight red carpet.
Signing autographs.
Signing autographs and taking selfies with people.
Oh, my God.
While you're going into court and possibly facing 40 years in jail.
So, Dean, do they take that into account a little bit? Do they say, wow, I don't think she's taking this very seriously. If you're a judge, I'm going to show her that this is serious. Does that play into it at all?
I don't think what goes on outside the courtroom does so much as the demeanor inside the courtroom.
Yeah.
And, you know, cameras aren't allowed. I've seen some sketches only of Lori Loughlin in court, so I don't know what her demeanor is like in court. So I don't really know what the answer is to that.
What about people who say that basically this is a victimless crime? You can call back Martha Stewart's case if you want to, but you go, who's in danger by this? Yeah, they did something that wasn't quite along the lines of the law, but is anyone really threatened by this? What do you say to that?
I don't know if anybody's threatened by it or put in danger by it, but I know that there are lots of kids who would have liked to have gotten into those schools.
Sure.
Who did it honestly, and there was no room for them because of this. So I think that there are victims of of their crimes here. That, you know, a lot of kids think back when you were, you know, going to school, like when you were trying to get into DeVry, Bill. Remember how difficult that was.
Yes, it was.
And your parents tried to pull off something like this.
I can't believe ISU accepted me. That was a big mistake on their part. I only made it till Christmas.
I felt the same way. I first went to U of I and then to Columbia College. When I got accepted at U of I said, somebody has made a terrible mistake there, because I was a solid C-minus student. I was not that great of a student.
Columbia College sent my parents money when they accepted me.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
That's
very unusual.
That never happens.
And, you know, I'm sorry. We all do what we can to help our kids. This is illegal. I get that. But what bothers me more than the parents paying are these school officials and coaches. That, to me, is a bigger crime.
Yeah, right. It's just as much of a crime, accepting bribes and things like that. You expect them to be
The school.
Above law. What I don't get so much about this, I mean, this is nothing new, that if you have money, you have some influence. That goes on in every business, let's face it. But, you know, with schools, how many buildings are named after people who made sizable donations to the schools? That was to kind of grease the way a little bit for future family members who might come along later on. I mean, it's not quite as nefariously done as
changing
this
scores
was done,
and,
but yeah, cheating on. But still, you know, here's $5 million. Go build that building. And oh, by the way, my grandson is looking to come to your school.
That's commonplace. It has been for years and years and years.
Has been forever. So I mean, there's a little bit of a double standard with this whole thing. I feel bad for the kids who you know, wanted to get in, worked hard to get in. And
their parents weren't rich.
Yeah, and couldn't because they didn't have the means to grease the way for themselves like that. And they didn't get in because other kids' parents, you know, did what they did.
Mm-hmm. My son, he's 16. He wants to go to USC. And I said it's either going to be harder to get in or super easy now.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I would think. Wouldn't you think that it would be that they would make it super difficult to get in now?
Almost impossible.
I would think so, too.
Yep. All right, Dean.
Think about DeVry.
DeVry's back in the picture.
All you got to do is look at a Bill Left.
Another success story.
He's a great radio host, a very funny comedian, right. And I don't know anybody who's better on a soldering gun than he is.
Oh, Dean, you're too kind. You're way too kind. We'll take a quick break and more with Dean Vader at Star Wars Weekend. Dean Richards is our guest. We've got three movies to cover this week, so let's get right to it. Hellboy is back, Dean.
What'd you call me?
Hellboy.
What? Wait a minute. Based on the comic book, based on, well, I guess not based on, but it's a reboot of the two Guillermo del Toro movies that came out in 2004.
Ron Perlman was Hellboy back then?
Ron Perlman was the movie Hellboy back then. They couldn't come to creative agreements.
Was Jerry Lewis also Hellboy, or was he the bellboy?
I think
I can't remember who he was.
He was a hell of a bellboy, is what he was.
Yeah.
So this time around, they went with an actor whose name is David Harbour, who you may know best from Stranger Things. And it is it's definitely not my kind of movie. I'm not going to be giving this a good review, but if you like a certain kind of movie, you may wind up liking this movie a heck of a lot more than I did. It's the story of a demon, sort of a demon hero, I guess you might call it. His origins are revealed in the movie. That's part of the plot line of Hellboy trying to discover his past and where this odd being comes from. But at the same time, an evil sorceress is set on destroying all of humanity. Ugh. So, you know, I guess that's redundant to say.
That's what evil sorceresses do.
Is there a good sorceress?
No.
Is there such a thing? Most sorceresses
always evil.
Are always evil.
Yep.
And this one is trying to destroy all of humanity. So Hellboy is trying to stop that. He's trying to discover his own past. The storyline is completely inconsequential because this movie is about its loudness and its bloody violence. It's a gory movie. It's a very violent movie. They think instead of plot line and story, and I realize it's an action movie. I'm not looking for some dramatic film here, but they have replaced all of that with creature filled fighting. This movie is all creature filled fighting. And it is one of the most profanity filled movies that I've seen in a long time. I'm not a prude about that, but this is like when a little kid learns swear words and they're just swearing because they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what this movie is. I mean, it's not. There's no context to it. There's no. It doesn't.
I
make
saw
any
it with
sense.
David Mamet, and he complained about the amount of swearing.
That's right. You're right. Exactly right. So. I mean, it's all of those things to make up for the fact that it's a really very empty movie with a lot of unneeded characters, a lot of unneeded subplots, more things to just distract you from the fact that there's really nothing going on in this movie. That said, I said this is not my cup of tea at all. I'm sure some people are going to go to this movie and love it for all of those reasons. They're going to love it for all the things I hate it for. For me, it was a Dean's List D.
Wow.
I think it doesn't even come close to, if you want to go see a great action movie, Shazam is hilarious and is done so well. We've got Avengers Endgame that's coming up in a couple of weeks, which is probably going to be one of the best movies of the year. So there's plenty to go. They're trying to get this in before Avengers comes along and kills the box office for everyone else. So Dean's List D for me on
Hellboy.
Hellboy, I'm afraid.
What about Missing Link?
Missing Link, I did not screen, so I can't tell you much about it. It's an animated movie. about an 8-foot-tall missing link who goes on a cross-country journey to find his long-lost relatives. And from what I understand, you know, cute and funny and exciting things happen along the way. It's getting not terrible reviews nationally. So I guess, you know, for the kids, if you're looking for something that's kind of harmless, this one might do the trick. It's rated PG.
And it's Zach Galifianakis doing the voice.
Zach
right?
Galifianakis is the main character in this movie. Mm-hmm. Zoe Saldana, Hugh Jackman. It's got a good voice cast in the movie, and it looks good. I've seen some clips and trailers and so forth for it. The one that actually is my favorite movie of the week, which kind of surprised me a little bit, is called Little. And it stars, do you know the actress called Marseille Martin?
She's from Blackish.
From Blackish. She's the young, she's one of the twins.
Yes.
Oh, she's funny.
On Blackish. She's hilarious in that, and she's hilarious in this movie as well. It's a body-switching comedy. And I thought, you know, when I first heard about this, it's like, well, we've had plenty of these before where somebody becomes somebody else. And in this case, it's a very aggressive take-no-prisoners businesswoman who was bullied all when she was little. When she got older, she became the bully of all bullies to everybody else. Mysteriously, and sort of without explanation in this movie, she becomes a little girl again. And it still has all of those same characteristics of being take no prisoners and kind of a bully and pushing everybody around. But it's played very, very funny and with a certain freshness to it. What I really like mostly about this movie, it's funny and it's very entertaining, but there are some nice life lessons about bullying in this movie that mm-hmm. I think everybody could use. And, you know, how many times have people said or thought, if only I knew then what I know now? This movie kind of brings all that to life, where it takes all the things from your adult life, takes you back to being a kid, so you can apply your knowledge as an adult to being a kid again, growing up to be a better adult. So, way overanalyzing a nice little comedy, I wound up giving that Dean's List B. I think that's the best movie of this weekend.
And Dean, the backstory on this is so incredible. This little girl from Blackish goes to a movie company and sells them on the idea.
Yep. She pitched the idea. Yeah. She's the executive. Now she's 14. When they started,
really?
When this whole process started, she was 10 years old, and she just had the gumption. If I can talk like my grandfather,
say gumption.
Hey, by golly,
some gumption.
Hey, get some gumption, by golly.
Gumption.
I'm going to get on the streetcar with some gumption. she had the nerve to go to a movie studio and pitch this idea, 10 years old at the time.
Right.
They liked the idea. She became the executive producer of the movie, and everybody got behind her. Yeah, it's a great story, and it's really well done.
She said to them, because the movie is called Little, so she says to them, you know that movie Big, and they're all like, yeah, we know Big. And she goes, it's the opposite of Big, it's Little. And they're like, yeah,
that's a great elevator
pitch. Isn't that excellent?
Yeah. And I just recently, probably 6 months ago, started watching the reruns of Blackish. I am
show.
A huge fan. That show is
that
so
is
funny.
A funny, 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 relatable show on so many
love
levels.
It.
There are so many great characters, I mean, that's what I love about Blackish. It's, you know, you like the main family, you like the main characters, but their friends, their coworkers are hilarious, their neighbors are mm-hmm. hilarious. I mean, this show is just solid.
Really
all,
funny.
All the way around. And this Marseille Martin is her name, the little girl, now 14 years old, is really good in this movie, and so is Regina Hall, who is the adult version of her in this movie. Good performances, and we could use a little comedy right now.
We sure could, Dean.
Yeah.
We
could all use a little comedy
so
right
true.
Now.
It's
so,
Dean Richards, everybody. That's who that is. Dean, thanks. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a week.
All right, guys. Bye.
That's
thanks, Dean.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Dave Schwann from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.